Begin the current daf, begin 10 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had in the Mishnah on the previous daf in Amud Beis that said that there are five areas that have the Aloch of Chaymish of adding on a fifth to the redemption. And that is, there are five different categories. The first category includes things that are called Truma, which the Mishnah mentions that are Truma, Trumas Meister of Demai, Chalam, Bikurim, for all those, that's actually the first of the five categories of fifths, because they're all called in the Torah, Truma. Now, regarding that halacha, Rabbi Laza had the following question. He said that Trumas Meisav Demai is rabbinic halacha. So he was wondering, did the Chacham support their rabbinic law as much as the biblical law to require the halacha of when you redeem it to add a fifth? As it is, it's not necessarily even Trumas Meisav. So rabbis were concerned that the Amaratzim, the Ignoramuses, didn't separate their Trumas and Meisras. So therefore, then when you go ahead and you separate the Meisras, then you have to, when you buy from them, you have to separate it because of rabbinic concern. But more than that, when you redeem it and you transfer it to money, then you even have to add a fifth? That was Rabbi Laz's question. So Shmuel's answer was, yes, because the town of a Mishnah is like a mayor who he holds, as he proves from a braisa, from the halachas of Gittin, that the Chachamim treated their rabbinic law, as we find by the halacha of Befani Nechtim, which is rabbinic law. Rameir says if a woman gets married from the delivery of the get without the shliach saying Befani Nechtim, the child's a mamzer, the woman has to get divorced as if it was infidelity, as if she was actually a regular married woman, even though biblically it was a full-fledged get. So you see, says Shmuel, that Rameir is of that of opinion, who he's the Talmud of Mishnah, the Chacham also chizikli devreim kishalter. That was Shmuel's answer. Now, that then, Rav Sheshesh had a question on this answer of Shmuel from a Mishnah Masechtas Demai. He proved that there is a discrepancy between the halachas of redeeming Ma'aser Sheni of Demai to regular Ma'aser Sheni, where although by regular Ma'aser Sheni we find that you cannot be mechal certain things, it has to be only on certain types of coins and only in one directional, versus by Demai we see that there are certain leniencies. So that's why Gemara got on top of our Amid and said, Rav Yisrael gave an answer, he says, it's not difficult on Shmuel. Because although Rameh was lenient regarding the redemption, the pidyon, the deconsecration of Demai, but regarding its consumption, which is the topic of our Mishnah 2, there Rameh was stringent, as he brought a price, regarding the halachas of Demai as much as it is Ma'aser Sheni, and therefore he resolved the opinion of Shmuel, which was answering the question of Rabbi Lazar on our Mishnah. That's how our Gemara continues. Masav Ravina. Now Ravina asks on the answer of Rav Yisrael. So we had Rav Laz's question, Shmuel's answer, Rav Sheshesh's question on Shmuel, Rav Yisrael's answer to Rav Sheshesh, and now Ravina asking on the answer of Rav Yisrael. He asks from the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. The Mishnah says, Halakeach min hanachtim. If someone purchases bread from a baker who is an Am Haaretz, ignoramus, says the Mishnah, Ma'aser, so you have to take off Ma'aser, as we said, because you don't assume that the Am Haaretz took off Ma'asers. But there's a certain leniency. You could take off Ma'aser min hachama ala tenenes, from the hot bread that you bought from him today, from the cold bread which was bought yesterday, or the other way around, min hatenenes ala chama, from the cold bread you bought from yesterday, you could take off tais from the new breads that you bought from today. And moreover, v'filament v'usim harba divrei meir, even if they're from different molds. In other words, even if the loaves of bread don't even look dissimilar, now the concept of that is that even though that would seem to indicate and tell us that maybe this baker actually bought the loaves of this mold type from one type of a person, and the loaves of bread that he has from a different mold are maybe from a different farmer, from a different person. Now, Amaratzim, the concern that we enter, and that's where the halach of Demai is introduced, is that some of them take off Meisters, and some of them don't take off Meisters. Now, the problem then be is that if this Nachtim, this baker that you're buying, you're a chaver, you're a talmud chacham, you're buying from a baker. Now he gets his bread from someone else. He just sells them. Now, if this, we don't know regarding the people that he bought from, who owe some ratzim, if they took off meiser or not, and maybe one of them did and the other one didn't. Now the problem with that is if you're taking from one mold, one type of bread, to take off meisers for a different type of a bread, you might be taking min hachiv al ha-pater. The one that you're separating might be from one that is obligated in Meisters, because maybe that person that was originally one who sold it to the baker did not take a Meisters, but the other one you're separating for might actually be exempt because maybe that person actually did separate. The problem with that is that then that does not create the designation of Meiser on the one that you're separating, and you're going to be giving Tevel to the Kayin. Or it could be the opposite. Could be you're actually, the one that you're separating as Meiser is actually exempt on the other one, which is obligated, and then there's no designation of Meiser on it. And it comes out that the one that you're separating for is not Metukin, is not fixed. So that would be the problem that one would entertain. And that's what Reb Meir says, that we're not concerned for that by Dmai. And we say that it was likely, or could be, that it was all bought from one person, even though they're from different molds, and therefore you could go ahead and take over some maestros, you designate one to be the tenth, the tithe, from even bread from yesterday, on the bread that you bought today from him, or even if there are different types of loaves, which you could think it's from different people, and then you could run into that problem. Says Reb Meir, that's not a problem. So on that, says Ravin his question. If you're going to entertain, like Rav Yisrael was resolving for Shmuel, to explain the halacha of a Mishnah, that we create a chizik in halachas d'rabbanan, at least regarding consumption, like Rav Yisrael had answered, just like biblical law. So let's understand this Mishnah. Bishleimim min atzenenes halachama. We could understand and explain that you could separate from the cold bread you bought from the baker yesterday on the warm bread that you're buying from him today, where that is regards to a different halachic problem, although that the warm bread that was baked today is better, is higher, better quality, because it's warm and fresh baked today is better than the cold bread that was baked yesterday, that's not a difficulty, because Kedre B'loi, like Reb B'loi said, Damer B'loi, he said, Minayim L'tarim Min Ara Ala Yafa. How do we know that if one separates Trumas and Maisers from what's inferior on something that's higher quality, Shet Trumas say Truma, that it, although one shouldn't do that, but it is considered halachic truma. So same thing over here regarding the meiser, whereas taking from yesterday's cold bread, you could use that as the meiser for today's warm bread and eat all of today's warm bread. Shnema, like it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says v'leisisu lavched, that you should not carry upon yourself a sin. When you separate the fatty parts from it, meaning regarding this designations of trumas to the kohanim, that is, one should be careful. You should take off the best and give that to the kohen. Now, im ena kodesh, if taking the inferior would not be sanctified, so nasiyas chatlama, what would that mean? That it would be carrying a sin. It just wouldn't be designation of truma. Rather, mikan l'termin ara l'yafa. Obviously, it sounds like from the pasuk that if one does do inferior on superior, shetrumasi truma, you'll carry a sin. It will be wrong, but it will be considered designation of truma. So you understand how you could, at least for rabbinic law, you could separate the inferior for the superior from the cold onto the warm bread. Ella, but the question then becomes on Rav Yisrael is afilu mitfusim harba. This is what Rav Meir said. You could even take breads that are from different molds, different shapes of breads, but leichish, you have to be concerned, as we mentioned before, dilma asalaf rishim and achiv ala patrum and apatra ala achiv. You might run into the problem that you'll be separating either the loaf, which is obligated, because that original person who made that Am Aretz, who the baker got his bread from, did not separate, but the other one you're separating in four actually might be exempt, which again, as we explained before, is problematic, because then you're giving to the Kohen actually Tevel, because it's not Meiser, it's not, or to the Levi, it's not Trumah Meiser for what you're separating it for, or Menapat Alechiv, you might actually be separating something that's exempt, and designate that as the Trumas of Meisers, for something that's obligated, which that's not creating a halacha of Meiser or Truma on it, and therefore you're going to be eating Tevel. So the question is, if you say that Reb Meir, as Rav Yisrael wanted to say, is Machmer on Demai, on rabbinic law, just like Derais when it comes to consumption, then how does he say over here in this Mishnah Masechet, this Demai, that one could be Makel by Demai even from Tefusim Harba, but you have to run into those biblical concerns, just like you're saying, we'll do for rabbinic law, that it's from different people, and then Yamin Achiv al Apatra, Apatra al Achiv. So that's Ravina's question. Now, Amar Abaye, he sums up all the what we had from the Gemara up until now. He says, starting in the beginning, Reb Elazar shapiku kashalei. Reb Elazar had a good question on the Mishnah, which was v'chiyas chizik. What do you mean? Did the rabbis make their rabbinic law as strong as biblical halacha? So, says Abaye, what started off this whole conversation, this dialogue, Reb Elazar's question is a valid question. Now, Shmuel, who answered and said that, oh, the Talmud Mishnah is Reb Meir, and he brought a proof from the halacha of someone who brings a get, where rabbinic law requires saying b'fan the nechtim, and not saying it, Reb Meir says, will be biblically prohibited, the woman, says Abaye, loy shapu kamashanile. Shmuel actually did not give a valid answer, as Abaye is going to explain. The reason being is because the kashalel Reb Elazar. Because Reb Elazar's question was, on the halacha of our Mishnah, did the rabbis make the halachas of trumas meiser of demai, which is a lenient halacha? Why? Because even by regular, definite truma, this is trumas meiser, which is the Levi takes over his own meiser of his meiser, which goes to the kohen, is called trumas meiser, which we're talking about rabbinic trumas meiser. Now, even definite truma, let's say regular truma, is only misa, is misa debedei shemayim. If a non-kohen eats truma, there's death by the hands of heaven. So that's definitely a severe punishment, but it's still not like misa b'di adam. Here it's by the hands of heaven. Whereas mishani le'shmuel, Shmuel who answered the question, said that, oh yes, I could explain the halacha of the Mishnah. The rabbis did support their rabbinic law as biblical law. What was his proof? From Eishes Ish, from a married woman, who that's regards to halachas of get, where that biblical prohibition is misas bezin. If one violates Eishes Ish, is more stringent, is death at the hands of the courts. So therefore, says Abaya, Dilmashani misas bezin the chamira. Maybe death at the hand of the courts, maybe that's different, that's a more severe halacha. So maybe there the rabbis made their rabbinic law by biblical, but who said, how could that support and say the remains the halacha of HaMishnah by Misa B'dei Shemayim? Maybe that's lenient in regards to Misa's Besdin, and maybe therefore Remei would agree, and therefore that wouldn't explain the halacha of HaMishnah that they make Divreim Kishol Tayr. So he says Shmuel's answer was not sufficient. Now, Rav Sheshes, he continues on the conversation. He says, Rav Sheshes, who had asked on Shmuel from the halachas of Chilul Ma'aser Sheni, of deconsecrated Ma'aser Sheni, where he wanted to prove that the rabbis did not make a chizik for Divreim of Demai as Shel Torah, because we find that there are certain leniencies that apply to be Mechal Ma'aser Sheni of Demai, which do not apply to regular Ma'aser Sheni. Says Abaya, Lo Yishaper Ko Ma'asevle. Neither did he have a good question on Shmuel. Because the Kamri in Humisa, Rebbe Lazar, the Shmuel, they were talking about halachas, at least of death, where, okay, that you could disagree and say, did Shmuel give a good answer or not? Amish and Misa B'dei Adam, Shmuel was mentioning was Misa B'dei Shemayim, Shmuel was mentioning halacha Misa Besdin. But at least they were talking about death. Umaisa Rav Sheshes love. But Rav Sheshes, his whole question was only regards to a negative prohibition. Because halachas of chil ma'aser sheni, if you don't do it appropriately, is at most a negative prohibition. The chassid, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, it says leisucha lecha b'sherecha. This that you're not allowed to eat the fruits in your gates, in your towns, that you have to bring it up to your shalayim, and that's what the whole purpose of chil is, that you could transfer the sanctity to the money and bring that up. If you don't do it appropriately and you end up eating the real ma'aser sheni out of your shalayim, it's only a negative prohibition. So how could you prove from there regards to refute the halacha of Shmuel? That's of course, yes, maybe they were lenient in regard to rabbinic law because it's just negative prohibition. That wouldn't refute Shmuel, who wants to say that they did make rabbinic law like biblical law regards to halachas of Misa, which are more severe penalties. Now, continues Abayu, Lamai de Misa Rav Sheshes. Now, and according to what Rav Sheshes had asked, although it wasn't an appropriate question, but Rav Yisuf Shabbat Kumashan, Labor Rav Yisuf gave a good answer that, yes, although Remei was lenient regarding the halachas of pidyon, but he was stringent regarding the halachas of consumption. Now, continues Abayi, says, but El Ravina, but Ravina, who's asking on Rav Yosef, says, Adam Maisim Minachtim, instead of asking from the halachas of the baker, who is asking Rav Yosef, where we see that even regarding the halachas of consumption, we find that there is a leniency regarding Demai, which is difficult in Rav Yosef, who's answering for Shmuel, and showing that we are stringent in consumption regarding to Demai as Deraisa. Asked Abaya, but L'sayei alei mipalter. To the contrary, he actually should support Rav Yosef from the halachas of a palter. A palter is, just as in regards to, a palter is regards to loaves of bread, as a sitin, which we mentioned on this amud from the previous daf, that is a wholesaler regarding produce, where, in other words, a palter buys many loaves of bread, and he sells them to the stores and to the bakeries. So it says Abaya, instead of Ravina asking on Rav Yosef in the halachas of a baker, he actually should be supporting Rav Yosef in the halachas of a palter. Because now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Demai that says, halakeich min ha-palter, if someone purchases from a palter, or some type of a wholesaler regards to breads, so ma'aser mikol tfus u'tfus to Rav Meir. Meir says, the person, the Talmud Chacham, who buys from him has to take off ma'aser from each individual mold. So says Abaya, we see that we are concerned about separating from chiyav al ha-palter when it comes regarding the halachas of Demai, just like we would be like regarding the halachas of Deraisa. So actually, so that would be contradictory. We're on the one hand, Ravina is asking Rav Yosef in the halachas of Nachtim, where we say, wait a second, we're not concerned. But according to Rav Yosef, we should be concerned. Nachiv al patam pat al chiv. Says Abaya, but I could show you the other way too. You could show support for Rav Yosef in the halachas of Palter, where we are concerned, and you do have to separate from each mold separately, because, yeah, they actually might be different. One might be chiv, one might be Potter. So says Abaya, in refutation of Ravina's Kasha on Rav Yosef, Elamayas L'chamema, what do you have to say? Why is it different that we are concerned regarding the Palter? Is because Palter mitrei t'lasa gavri zav, and the Palter is a middleman. He buys from two or three different bakers. So therefore it says Rav Yosef, nachtim nami. It says Abaya, a baker, is also the same thing. That it's not difficult in Rav Yosef. The reason why Rav Meir was not concerned, and it's not going to be a difficulty, is because he holds that a baker, since he doesn't buy so much at one time, so we could say that Michad Gavah Huzavan, that he actually bought it for one person, and it's one person who made it in different types of loaves. We have many times you go to a bakery that they have one baker. He makes it in different shapes and different molds, and therefore we say that it was from one person, and that's why we're not concerned. But really, we do consider regarding consumption, as Rav Yosef had contended to answer Vishmul, that there's no difference that between rabbinic law of Demai and biblical law, that we are machmer, as Shmuel wanted to say, where Abaye doesn't like Shmuel's answer, not sufficient, but to explain that the halacha of the Mishnah is like her mayor, that we are machmer b'divrayim kishal teira when it comes to the halachas, at least of consumption, or as we find by Gittin, where in regards to halachas of Misa, or in regards to halacha of Meichel, that we are machmer. Now, Rava Amma, he says, in regards to that point that Abaye didn't hold it was sufficient, the answer of Shmuel, he says, Shmuel Shabbat Kamashan Le. No, Shmuel did give a sufficient answer, because Shei Misa B'Olam, you're right, that Abaye was splitting in regards to the halachas of death, that maybe you can't show that it remains the town of our Mishnah to be Machma B'Devrem Kishol Teira, because although they're both talking about Misa, but our Mishnah is talking about a more lenient Misa, and therefore maybe rabbinic law should not be as stringent, in contrast to the where we find Remeir being machmer by rabbinic law, like biblical law, is by Misa B'dei Adam, which is the more severe type of penalty. On that says Rava that no, Shmuel was giving a sufficient answer. We find by death that rabbinic law is like biblical, and therefore we won't differentiate, and therefore we could explain to answer Rebbe's original question that Allah of our Mishnah is like Remeir. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which returns to the topic of our parak, the halachas of Aina. Which again, the halachas of Aina are the price fraud, which generally that's said to be a shtus, a sixth of the price. If it's over or undercharged, then the halacha is that extra charge has to be returned. So says the Mishnah, Eil dvarm she'ein lemayna. Our Mishnah talks about the exceptions. These are the things that don't have the halachas of ayna applied to it, which we'll explain the reason for them. They are ha'avadim, regarding the sale of slaves. Vashtaris halacha of if someone sells his document, which had in it his ability to collect the debt that's inside of it, he's selling the debt with the document that other person could collect that debt. So he sells him the document. The hakarkois and the sale of lands. The hakdeshes and the sale of hektish, either where the treasurer of hektish sells an item of hektish, or somebody that had designated his carbon oila, which had a blemish, which now he can't bring as a carbon anymore, he sells it off to someone else, that these items that when they're sold, there's no halacha of aina of price for that apply to them. Moreover, ein lam teshlumi kefil, these items don't have halacha when somebody steals, which generally if he's caught by witnesses, he has to pay double. These items don't have that halacha of kefil. And v'lei teshlum abav v'chamisha, neither do they have the halacha of if let's say the animal that they stole, which then they slaughtered or sold. The halacha is you have to pay four or five times the amount, which as Rashi points out, this obviously halacha was only necessary for the category of hektish. Because with regards to slaves and documents and land, it doesn't apply because the whole halacha of paying four or five times the amount is only by an ox and a sheep. But at least regarding hektish, that halacha of arba v'chamisha will not apply. Moreover, regarding these four items that we mentioned, shemechinim ein nishba, if someone was watching for free one of these four items, he doesn't have to swear as a shemechinim usually has to be if he wants to exempt himself that he wasn't negligent. And the reason being is because the Torah does not require an oath on any of these four items. And a guy who was watching for pay, a paid guardian, doesn't have to pay if it was stolen from him, which normally Shemesach has to pay. These four items are exempt from the halacha of the liability of a Shemechinim swearing and a Nesesach having to pay. Shem Naimir, he differentiates, he says, as you continue to Talmud Beis, Kodshim Shulchai Bachoyusin, regarding Kodshim, a sanctified item that the owner has responsibility for. In other words, if let's say said in the term of like what's a neder, hare alai oila, it's incumbent upon me to bring an oila, and then he designated and separated a specific animal, and then it developed a blemish, and then he sold it. So then he says yesh lemayna. Although we said kachim does not have ayna, says that type of a kachim would have the halacha as a price for it applied to it. And the reason being is because since if this animal would have died, it would have been stolen from this owner who is separating this animal as a carbon. he would have been liable for responsibility. So then at some level we consider it his, and therefore the pasuk of Al-Toinu Ish Es Achiv applies where it is going to be a price for, not for Hekdesh, but rather this person, because he has ownership in it, as we find that he has liability for it. Whereas B'she'in Echai B'achar Yusam, but if there is no liability attached to it, for example, let's say said Harei Zu, which is a term usually given for a Nedava, he was saying this is, and if anything happens to it, it's not his loss, it's Hekdesh's loss, then Ein Lemanah, then as we'll see, the source for the Halacha of Hekdesh, it's considered totally Hekdesh, as he has no responsibility whatsoever, and therefore there's not going to be a Halacha of price for it. Regarding that case, Rav Shimon agrees, but he disagrees regarding the Halacha of when there is Achrayis for the owner. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, he adds on, he says, Afa Mechir Sefer Torah, Behema Umargolus. Also, if a person sells a Torah scroll or an animal or a pearl, Ein Lemaynah, then the halacha Benah does not apply, as the Gemara will explain the Brice of the reason for this halacha. Now, Amr Lai, the Chacham responded back to Rabbi Yehuda that Loy Amr Elo Eseilu. No, it's not true. It only applies to these four that we mentioned of Hektish, Avadim, Shtaras, and Kakais, but the items that you mentioned would have the halacha Benah applying to them. So the Gemara explains the source for the halach of our Mishnah. But not immediately, where do we know this from? Says the Gemara, the Tanabon, we learn the Braisa, it says the pasuk in Mayikah, which the source for this halach of Aynah, it says, V'chisim kru mem kol ha-mesecha, that if you'll be selling a sale item to your friend, oikonoi miyad ha-mesecha, or you purchase from the hand of your friend. So that's where the pasuk concludes, al tainu ish ha-selcha, a person should not fraud his friend. Explains the Braisa, it says, miyad ha-mesecha, which is davah nikna miyad liyad. That's something that's being purchased from hand to hand. That's where the pasuk warns bal tainu that you shouldn't overcharge or undercharge the halacha fraud. Yatzu karkoi she'en metatlin. That excludes land, which is not movable. It doesn't go from hand to hand. And also yatzu avadin. That's where he excludes the halacha of slaves. Shehukshu l'karkois, where the Torah compares the halacha of slaves to land, as the pasuk says in Vika chafei bisnachaltim oisam, that you should inherent, which is that the Torah compares the slaves to an achuza, to a land of ancestral inheritance, which is just like land is going to be excluded, so too slaves. And Yatzu Shtaris is also going to exclude documents, because the pasuk says, when you're going to be selling a sale item, which is saying, shagufa machr v'gufa kanoi. It's we're talking about something that the essence of it is being sold, and it's the body which is being acquired. Yatzu shtaris, that excludes documents. She'en gufen macher, ve'en gufen kanoi. What's being sold is not the actual item that's being passed from one person to another, and it's not that which is being purchased. Because ve'enun oimdin el l'ra'ya shebehem. The document is not for the intrinsic, it's what it could be used for the proof of it, what it indicates. And actually, interestingly, says the Gemara, mikan amru, it's from here that they said, from the fact that the whole reason why shtaris are excluded from the halachas of Aynah is only because it's not intrinsic worth the document, it's only what it's a proof for. So therefore, actually, they said that if someone sells his documents to a person who makes perfumes, where he wants paper to wrap up his spices, therefore what's being sold is for the actual utility of the intrinsic worth of the document, of the paper. So then, yesh lemaynah. Then says the Gemara, then actually then they would have aynah because it is the actual intrinsic item which is being sold and purchased. Now, on that the Gemara asks, the pshita, that's pretty obvious. Why would it be different than any other movable item? Of course that would be considered halachas of aynah. That says the Gemara, no lafukim de Rav Kahana, this would be excluded from the halacha of Rav Kahana. The Amad that he says, einoy no laprutis, he says that the halacha of aynah has to have a minimum of an iser, which is a silver coin. And he says that therefore there's not going to be halacha b'aynah for items that are being sold for prutus, for pennies, like you would say, for copper coins. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush that we're teaching, that yesh aynah l'prutus, that there is the halacha b'aynah even for prutus. Because generally when a person sells his documents to a perfume maker, it's because these are pieces of paper that they're void, these documents. And generally the sale is not going to be a total of even an iser, it's just going to be of copper coins, it's just pennies. Still, we're showing you that if that's what we're saying, that not like Rav Kahana, that there would be halacha b'aynah when you're selling the documents to the perfume maker. So that's the source for avodim, shtaris, and kakois. And regarding the fourth item in our mission of hekdeshes, that the source is that it's being excluded because amakra, the pasuk says over there, achiv, loisan ishas achiv, you shouldn't defraud his friend, achiv b'lay hekdesh. Brother means another person, and not hekdesh, which that is shemayim, is for heavenly purposes. That's excluded from halachas b'aynah. Now, Maskevela Rabba Bar Mamal. Rabba Bar Mamal asked on the Braisa. Because the source that we learned to exclude Karka, which so to exclude Zavadim, is from that it says Miyad Meisach. Tavar Metal to Miyad Liyad, it has to be something that goes from hand to hand, which land is not transferable from hand to hand. On that, as Rabbi Mamamal, Kol Hechad Chseb Yada, wherever it says his hand, Yada Mamashu means literally his hand, because that's where the inference that the Brice had made, oh Miyad Meisach, from the hand of your friend, oh, that has to be a movable item, which is something that could go from hand to hand. And that asked Rabbi Mamamal, but take the pasuk of Bamidbar that says regarding Sichain, but Yikach has Kol Aretz Miyadi, you should take his whole land from his hand. What are you telling me? He had his whole land in his hand, and that's what the Jews are being commanded to take the land away from his hand. Elam Rishusa, it means from his domain, from his rights, from his control. When it says Miyad Meisach, it means from the control of your friend, and therefore that would even be including land. How do you see an exclusion of karka to say it has to be something that could go literally from hand to hand? So that the Gemara responds, you tell me that wherever it does say his hand, lav yodei mamashu, you tell me in your question that it's not literally a hand? But Vatanya approved you from a brisa that it means literally a hand. The pasuk says in Shemais, it says regarding a ganav that's caught with the ganav, it says, imimatzi timatzi biyadi, if found, it is found in his hand. Says the brisa, so ainly, I wouldn't know that the ganav would be chayef for kefil, ella only if that when he took it and stole it from that person, if it was through yodai, through his hand. Gagoi chatzer v'karfifei, but if he stole it through his roof or through his courtyard or through his enclosed area. Meaning, if let's say the animal had walked in by itself and he closed the door of his gate to steal it, minayim, from where would I know that his courtyard would acquire it for him and in the halachas of Geneva, and then if he's caught with it, he would be chayef kevel. Time limit, that's what the pasuk teaches. Im himatzi timatzi mikol makom, that redundant term of if it's found, it is surely found, before it even says the term of biyadai, that it's coming to tell you that in all situations that the Geneva is found with him, he's going to be chayev for the Geneva. So it says the Gemara, time lekasav rachamonim himatzi timatzi, sounds like only because the Torah says, if found, it is surely found. Halav achi, but if not, havamina kol echad chasav yadai, yadai mamshu, you see that because it said the word hand, it would mean literally only if he stole it by hand, not if he stole it in some other way. And it doesn't mean just in his rishos, it means literally by hand. The Sutanya, moreover, says the Gemara, we learn the Braisa, it says the pasuk in Devarim, regarding the divorce of a woman, that he has to give the get, and he puts it in her hand. Says the Braisa, Ainli Eli Yada, I would only know if he literally puts it into her hand. Gaga chatzer v'kafifa minayin, how do we know that if he puts it into her roof or to her courtyard or to her enclosed area, that if he puts it into her domain, it's also going to be considered a divorce? Tamalema v'nasim mikam makam, that's what the pasuk teaches when it says, it should have said ubiyada titnana, in her hand he puts it. It doesn't. It first says the word venasan and then biyada, which tells you in all situations, however you give it, biyada is just qualifying it, but it doesn't mean literally her hand. It means even gagecha tervekefifa. So says the Gemara, what you see from this brisa too is time the kasarach manda venasan, is because the Torah has this inclusionary term of that he should give it. Halav achi, but if not for that, let's say we would have said ubiyada titnana. We've seen that where it says you have to put it in the hand, it means literally the hand. Ella rather explains the Gemara in its answer, kol yada yode mamashu, like we established before, and that's why we're excluding from miyada misecha, has to mean literally the hand, which is metalton, excluding karka. Because it means literally the hand. Now, b'shani hasim, but that pasuk that you brought in your question of b'yikach es kol artzim miyada is different because delek alei ma'achin, because you're right, there's no way to translate it. Elam eshtrusa, there it means from the domain. But whenever it could literally be translated hand, it means literally hand. And that's why in our pasuk, where it could be literally translated as halacha v'na'ah, applying to miyada, which is a movable item, therefore the halacha v'na'ah only applies to that and not to karka. Now, the Gemara continues in a related discussion of these halachas of v'na'ah. Bayer Reb Zer. Zer had the following question. Schirus, regarding a rental, yesh lo yino, is there a price for it on rental? Like ain lo yino, or is there no price for it? Explains the Gemara. Memko amrachmana, the pasuk that we just brought before, which was the source for these exemptions, says v'chi simkru memko lamesach, when you're going to sell something to your friend. So it says a sale, abaloi schirus, but not a rental. Oidim aloi shno, maybe there's no difference. So Amalei Abaya answered to Reb Zeri, says, Miksiv memka la'ilam? Does the Torah say that the halacha v'na'ah applies only to a sale that is forever? Memker stomachsiv. It just says any type of a sale. V'hai nami b'yoymei mechira. He explains Abaya the logic, the principle behind rental. Rental essentially is a temporary sale, where it's sold for this person for a limited time. And therefore says Abaya, this is a sale, and therefore the halacha v'na'ah would apply to a rental too. by Rava. Rava has a different question regarding tivis halachas. Chitin v'zeron b'karka mahu. What's the halacha regarding if someone took wheat and he planted it in the ground? What's halacha? Yesh lemayno or ain lemayno? Is the halachas of ainah going to apply if he then sold these seeds, these wheat kernels that he planted in the ground? Would the halacha of ainah apply to them or not? Explains the Gemara the question. Command the shadin bekada damin. When one puts the seeds in the ground, is it as if you just put it into a container? The ground is its container, and therefore yesh lemayno, since kernels are movable items, therefore halacha of ainah would apply to them. Or maybe do you say that no, it became nullified, it became now secondary to the land, and therefore it's like part of the land, as things that are planted and connected to the land, and therefore there's no more ainah for the wheat kernels, because just like there's no ainah for karka, as we mentioned before, so there's no ainah for these seeds. And as Rashi points out, obviously the question is only when it didn't take root, as the Gemara actually asks. Hey Chidami. And Mar says, first of all, what is the case that we're discussing? Ilema da amar ihu, if it's talking about where he said, Shaddai, the seller says, that I planted ba shita. I planted six sa of wheat kernels in this land, and that's what I'm selling to you. Meaning that you'll get not just these wheat kernels, you'll get also what sprouts out of it. But he's saying, that's what I'm selling to you. The asr sahadi va amri, and then witnesses come and say, Deloy shadda ba'il chamisha. It's not true. We only planted five saw, so therefore there's a fraud over here. Was that the question that was being posed? On that, as the Gemara, but Va'amar Rava said, "Kadava shebemida v'shebemishkel v'shebeminin." Anything which is measured or weighted or counted, afilapachas mechdeyino. Then even when there's a sale of less than the normal price for, let's say, less than a sixth, then chayzer, it goes back. The reason for that is because it enters a different domain when it's numerics. It actually becomes what's the halacha of nekach tois. It's a mistaken acquisition. The reason for that is because when you say you're going to sell 12 and you sell 11, although maybe it's not a sixth, but the thing is that that's an outright deception and a lie. And so too over here, since the person said I planted six and he didn't plant six, so that's an error in the actual sale. It's a total deception. And therefore, even if, let's say, we would say that the seeds that were put in there are considered part of the land, it would still go back. Because although the halacha, as we pointed out before, the avkarka are excluded from the halachas of ainah, but they're not excluded from the halachas of mekach tois, which is, you told me you're going to sell me this, and you tell me something totally different. Because it's not a sale at all, because that wasn't the premise of what we were buying. So what is the case that we're discussing over here? That Rabbi's question is, if there's halacha of ainah regarding the seeds that were planted but didn't take root yet. Taylor Rav, the Gemara explains, is the Amar Ihu Shadoi Bakidi Boila. So he didn't say how much he planted. He says, I put the seeds into the ground as much as is needed for this amount of land. Where now it's no more in the arena of Mekach Tais, it's now in the arena of Ainah, because since it's something that is of regarding an evaluation, which is something that there is a margin of error. That's how it is, where product is how much is it supposed to go for. So overcharge or undercharge by a sixth, okay, that's something that is within the normal margin of error. So therefore, it would be considered like the halacha by Noah. He says, I planted how much it needed. Well, how much does it normally need? Well, if a guy did it more or less, so that would be considered within normal limits of what's considered that range. Sixth is already considered beyond, that would be considered a no. But again, it's not mekach tois where we made up this amount and you told me this amount. We didn't make up. It's a certain amount that he said, I'm going to sell you how much this land needs. Now, regarding that, if he did a sixth more or less than what it normally needs, that's where it would enter to the arena of a sixth, because vigloi milsa, what was ultimately revealed, deloi shah the bakidei boila, he didn't plant how much was needed. And it was a difference, let's say, of even of a sixth difference of how much it needs. That was the question of Rava, yesh lemayno, oyein lemayno. Is there going to be the halachas of ainah regarding these seeds, regarding these kernels, or not? As the question he had said, command the shadu bekada damim, do we view it as if it's just in a container, and therefore there's still matatlan, and therefore it would be ainah? Or maybe that it would be considered nullified and void regarding the land. So to another related question to this type of case, says, as Rava, Nishboin alein, would this also create a situation of making a shvu on this? If let's say someone was Maidib Mixes, which is the biblical shvu of partial admission. So for example, as Rashi says the case would be, if let's say someone claims to his work, he says, look, you made up with me that you're going to plant for me 6 sa' of wheat that I gave you, that you're going to plant it, and you only planted 5 of them. And the worker says, it's not true. I admit to part of what you're saying, and I'll give you back that half. But actually, I planted 5 and a half, not 5 as you're saying. So does the worker make a shvuah? Or does he not make a shvuah? What's the question? Same question. Do we say that since it never took root, as the Gemara will shortly address this point, that we view it as just in a container? So therefore, it's a claim of 6, and he's admitting to 5 and a half. That's your classical halacha of Maidim Miktis. Or maybe do we say that no, it already becomes secondary and part of land. One does not make an oath on a denial of land, and this is a denial of land because it's already part of the land. Question number 3 related to this case. Does the Omer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, which is the carbon of the barley offering, which then permits all new crops to be eaten, which are called Chadish, so then once that's brought, so all new grains are permitted. So the question is, would the carbon Omer permit it or not? Now, the assumption of the Gemara, which will explain why the Gemara's question is coming, thinks that it's going on the outgrowth of these seeds that were planted. And therefore, the Gemara is going to ask if it took root before the Omer or not will be the critical factor. As the Gemara responds to the question, it says, well, hey, Chidami, what's the case that you told me that you're asking if the carbon Omer is going to permit it or not? Ida Ashrish Tanina, if it took root already, so that we learned in the Mishnah, that Omer permits the growths that are planted, as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Menachos, and there explains the reason. So if it already took root, so it is permitted by the carbon Omer. And Idaloy Ashrish, and if it did not take root at the time of when the Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, so Tanina, that we also learned in the Mishnah that the carbon Omer does not permit it. Does not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos. It says, if it took root, the seeds that were planted before the carbon Omer was brought, so Omer Matir, and so the carbon Omer permits it. Vimlav, and if it didn't take root, then it's forbidden until the next carbon Omer is brought in the following year. So what was the question exactly, if Omer would permit these seeds or not? It just look, if it took root or not. So answers the Gemara, Loid Tzricha, no, we're not talking about the Gidulin, the outgrowths of these seeds. We're talking about the Chatzdinu. These seeds were harvested from the new crop. And they needed that the carbon Omer should permit them from consumption, because it wasn't, it didn't take root when the previous carbon Omer was around, and sometime during the year it was harvested, so we had to wait till the new carbon Omer. Now, but vizarinu kaidim l'Omer, but before the new Omer was brought, that's when they had put and seeded it into the ground. Now, the second day of Pesach is passing by, and they're bringing the carbon Omer, but now it didn't reseed, it didn't, this seeds that were planted were not rooted yet by the before the Omer was brought. So as we continue the top of Nazayin Manaf, the question is, Mahu Lamin Kedomech Manaf, what's halacha? Can you go ahead and take these seeds out of the ground and eat them? So in other words, as we said before, the Gemara explains the question is not going on the outgrowths, what comes out of a wheat seed which germinates and then creates a new stalk of wheat. That wasn't what we were talking about. Because even if the Omer of the previous year permitted these seeds before it was planted, and it was planted before the Omer and didn't take root, then the outgrowth would be forbidden until the next year's Omer. The question that's being asked is regarding the actual seeds themselves, to take them out of the ground and eat them after the carbon Omer. What's the question? Same question we mentioned regarding the previous two questions. Command the Shadi Mekadadami, do we view these seeds as if they're just in the container and therefore Vesharinu Omer? So therefore the Omer permits them because, again, the Omer permits seeds that were detached in the past year, and regarding even growths that are planted that are already attached and are took root, the Omer permits them. And therefore here, since it already was detached, it was ready, and it's just like encased in the ground, therefore the Omer would permit them. Maybe you say that no, it's actually considered secondary now to the ground, and therefore it is like the ground itself, and therefore it wouldn't apply for the Omer to permit it, because the Omer only permits stuff that were already taken root, and it didn't take root yet. So the Gemara take or let it stand regarding all these three questions. It wouldn't be clear regarding the halachas of the Omer, regarding the halachas of the Shvuah, regarding halacha v'ayna, what would apply? As we said, halacha v'ayna, I know in our Mishnah, does not apply to karka. These seeds that were planted, which didn't take root, do we view them as land, or do we view them as metatlin, which again would have the ramifications regarding these three areas of halacha?